From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the first part of a message entitled The Meaning of Pentecost, part of a series of studies in the book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled No Condemnation. The text is Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 20. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. A glorious word indeed! What a perfect pardon is here promised to the sinful nations of Israel and Judah! Sin is to be so removed that it shall not be found, so blotted out that there shall be none. Glory be unto the God of pardons! Satan seeks out sins wherewith to accuse us. Our enemies seek them, that they may lay them to our charge, and our own conscience seeks them even with a morbid eagerness. But when the Lord applies the precious blood of Jesus, we fear no form of search, for there shall be none. They shall not be found. The Lord hath caused the sins of his people to cease to be. He hath finished transgression and made an end of sin. The sacrifice of Jesus has cast our sins into the depths of the sea. This makes us dance for joy. The reason for the obliteration of sin lies in the fact that Jehovah himself pardons his chosen ones. His word of grace is not only royal, but divine. He speaks absolution, and we are absolved. He applies the atonement, and from that hour his people are beyond all fear of condemnation. Blessed be the name of the sin-annihilating God.
Every voice and heart is swelling, worthy is the Lamb to reign.
Lamb of God, our souls adore thee, as upon thy face we gaze, there the Father's love.
Yeah.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Opening verses of Acts chapter 2 record the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. This was a day which changed the course of history, something only God could accomplish. Today, Dr. Cairns begins a message entitled The Meaning of Pentecost, which is revealed in Peter's words found in verses 12 through 21 of chapter 2. Peter reminded the gathered multitude that what they were witnessing was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel chapter 2, where God promised that in the last days he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. The outpouring of the Spirit was, first of all, supernatural, for only the Almighty God could do it. Now to commence this message entitled The Meaning of Pentecost, here is Dr. Cairns.
Acts chapter 2. Reading from verse 12 to verse 21. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Finishing our reading at verse 21, and the Lord will add his own blessing to this passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. This passage of Scripture, and the one which follows it through to the end of the chapter, introduces us to the first preaching in the book of the Acts. Naturally, since this is the history book of the New Testament, following the death and ascension, resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to find a lot of first things in the book of Acts. And this is the first preaching. Now, I'm not this today going to deal with the sermon so much as this little speech, little as regards its extent, but great as regards its content, which Peter made, prefacing his first sermon after the infilling of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You see, as soon as Peter and the others stood up and preached to the people the wonderful works of God in their own tongue, their own language, and indeed in their own dialect, there was great consternation among the people. There were two classes. There always are. When the Holy Spirit came down on that day of Pentecost, we read in verse 12 that they were all amazed. And they were in doubt. The language given originally by the Holy Ghost indicates they were perplexed. And they asked, "What meaneth this?" So there was one class of people, and it would seem to be that these were the people who had come to Jerusalem for the feast, and they had heard in their own language, and they said, "What meaneth this?" Then there were those of Jerusalem and Judea, and they said, verse 13, "These men are full of new wine." And I think the Holy Spirit indicates that theirs was not an honest appraisal, because the verse 13 commences with the word "others." And the word indicates others of a different sort. These were not honestly perplexed people. These were not people who were genuinely interested in finding out what was happening. These were the typical bigoted Pharisaical Jews who were not interested in knowing the truth. These were the people who, in their hatred of truth, had crucified him who was the truth. These were not merely residents of Jerusalem and Judea. These were a particular kind of Jews who hated Jesus Christ and truth in Christ. They were not interested in knowing what this was, and so mocking It's a bad thing. Now, I believe this was taking place in the temple, the house of God, where they had come up to worship. Indeed, as we read from Peter's words, this was the third hour of the day. They had come up at the hour of prayer. And yet they were mocking. It ill becomes anyone who attends the house of God at the stated time of worship. It ill becomes them to adopt an attitude of raillery or mockery against the things of God. Mockers are always fools when they mock God, but especially when they would come into God's house and they would hear the movings of God's Spirit and they would see the marks of God's Spirit, and yet they would mock. It's a sad and a serious thing. They were mocking and they said, "These men are full of new wine." Now Peter answered them. I like what it says, Peter standing up. Now, that's the difference the infilling of the Holy Ghost makes. Peter previously had followed afar off. Peter previously had stood warming his hands at the fire of the enemies of Christ. And when a little girl said to him, "Thou art one of his disciples," he said, "Oh, no, I'm not." When another came and accused him of belonging to Christ, he melted before the fire of their mockery, and he cursed Christ, and he said, "I know not the man." Now he was saved. And it's a tragic truth that so many Christians have not the power to stand up in the face of the world. So many Christians have not the power to be a good witness to Jesus Christ. So many Christians deny their God. But now we have this same man. He's no more courageous in his nature than ever he was. He's no more dependable in his human nature than ever he was. But now this man has had the fullness of the Holy Ghost given to him. This man has known the impartation of divine power, and here he is. Not before a little maid, not before a single accuser, but before a vast concourse of people. And he stands up on his 2 feet, and he's beginning now to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Standing up with the others, he began to speak. Now, there's a strange thing here, and we're left to our conjecture. I believe that either he spoke and the others spoke in the other languages, or else he spoke and the Holy Spirit enabled every man of those different languages to hear in his own tongue what Peter said in this sermon. Because I find that verse 14 says, he addressed himself to the men of Judea and Jerusalem. So he was obviously speaking in their language. In other words, he was specifically answering the mockery of these men. He gives them the answer very clearly. But obviously, when you get to the end of the chapter, you have Peter drawing in a great harvest of souls, and I think it comes from all the dialects mentioned in the verses we read and studied last week. But he comes to answer especially the Jews living in Judea and Jerusalem. That leads me to say that it is quite right when we are faced with something which purports to be a work of God, we are quite right to investigate it. Now, these Jews were wrong in their mockery. Elijah was right when he mocked the devil and the prophets of Baal. I can mock the devil's crowd quite scripturally. But it's wrong to mock God. So it's right to investigate. It's wrong to mock. And when a person comes with a sincere investigation, the Lord will answer them. And the Lord will reveal himself. It is a very poor work which shuns the light of scriptural investigation. Now, we're living in a day when there are very many purported works of the Spirit. I have mentioned the ecumenical movement, the World Council of Churches, and these clerics, they hold their hands together in a semblance of holiness, and they say, oh, but we are moved by the Spirit. Now, once they say that, I have the right to take what they say and what they do and subject it to the most searching investigation of the Word of God. But the ecumeniacs do not want a scriptural investigation. They are afraid of a scriptural investigation. Rather, they want to set the scriptures aside and say we are led by the Spirit. Let me lay it down as an absolute rule of God that God the Holy Spirit does not lead contrary to the Word of God. And then we have the charismatic renewal, the charismatic revival. Had its roots, I suppose, in the Pentecostal renewal. Many sincere people believe this to be a work of God. Many sincere people will follow this. And let me say, it's been my experience in talking to them that in most cases they become most irate when you subject their particular theory to the Word of God. And they say that you are going against the Spirit. But I can't be going against the Spirit when I'm not going against the Word. Anything which purports to be of God has a right to be questioned in the light of Scripture. And so Peter gives a very clear answer. The question is, what meaneth this? And you will find, a couple of verses later, he said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He gives the answer. Now, today, I want to consider the answer very, very simply. And the theme of the answer, of course, is the meaning of Pentecost. I think we need to be very clear on that, because this is obviously one of those focal points in the Word of God, and indeed in the entire history of humanity. A focal point. Someone has said that this is like one of those hinges when the Old Testament era was closing and on the same hinge the door into the New Testament era was opening. This is definitely a very important passage of Scripture. We need to be clear on what it means. Now, there are a lot of things you could say, and if I were going to take a line-by-line treatment of this passage of Scripture, I think we would probably be coming to the end of it about next March or sometime, if I preached every Sunday morning on it. So I'd better not do that. We'll have to look at it rather briefly and somewhat superficially. You'll have to look at it in depth yourself. First of all, what meaneth this? What's the answer? As to its source, it is supernatural. That's the first thing Peter sets out. You will notice what he says in verse 15. These are not drunken. I want you to get the full significance of that. These are not drunken. In other words, this is not the product of the flesh. What you have seen and what you have heard today, says Peter, is not produced human endeavor, and it is not to be explained by an examination of the minds or of the talents of the men who stood up to speak. I think this is one of the greatest mistakes that even commentators and sometimes even so-called fundamental and evangelical preachers will make. When they come to explain these things, they will have a minute description of Peter. My friend, let me tell you, Peter was an instrument here, but you can examine Peter as much as you like. It will not explain what happened on the day of Pentecost. You can examine the disciples as much as you like. And we have already looked at them and their prayer meeting, and that's an important key in leading up to the day of Pentecost. But at the end of it all, we have got to say, when we have looked at the men, when we have looked at their methods, we are no nearer to understanding what this is. For the real answer is, as to its source, this is supernatural. It is not of man, it is of God. This, as we'll see more fully in a moment, is God stepping down into the arena of human affairs. This is God interposing his own power and his own purpose in what men are doing. This is God sweeping man aside and saying, I am pouring out my spirit in my power for my purpose and for my glory. It is supernatural.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.